welcome to the Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, a little hectic this morning, as you mentioned prior to us hitting record, but it's all going good. Just got too many balls in the air, I guess. Use a juggling analogy.
Yeah. So the Slack is going crazy and everything. So I'm just trying to, you know, make sure that we're not taking a public podcast to a private podcast and all kinds of stuff, you know. So, but anyway, it's yeah. Hey, everyone, welcome. We got a great show lined up for you. Lots of stuff to talk about. We got some best practices. We've got some news. We've got an interview, and got some support stuff as well. So anyway, hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Mike, lots of virtual conferences going on right now.
Oh, yeah. So PodFest Global Summit is well underway. They're doing their official Guinness World Record attempt for the largest, what does it say? The largest attendance for a virtual podcasting conference over a week. So that's something that's going to be a new listing at Guinness, so they'll probably get it. I don't know what the criteria is to set the record the first time.
I think when we talked to him on the new media show, I think he said he had like 5,000 across the week or something like that. He had to have a significant number, but he, you know, who knows if they're going to give it to him, if it has 100 or 1,000 or 5,000. But yes, PodFest is going on, and they've got a whole week of content. This is actually week two. They did some pre-stuff last week.
Yeah, you and Rob participated last week, or was it last week? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it is ongoing. But probably the news that everyone's been watching is the news about Amazon and Amazon Audible. And I think the key here is we have to be careful and actually the specific naming that they want. But why don't you talk a little bit about what's been going on in the news, Mike?
Well, it's not so much the news. I do have an article here from Slash Gear, but they're adding podcasts to music, and they changed one of their criteria for being on the platform. But, you know, officially, we're not supposed to say anything official about it because all the emails that went out to everybody said it was going to be confidential. But I think they emailed everybody on the planet that has a podcast, and that's been interesting for us in support. You know, yes, whatever happens with Amazon, Blueberry will support it. No problem there. And, you know, that's really about it. But yeah, one of the rules they had was you couldn't say anything disparaging about Amazon on your podcast.
Well, they've changed a whole bunch of stuff up, and I'm not going to talk to their terms of service here at all. We can't at this point, but I'll just say that, which is kind of weird. But again, what Amazon's doing is to, you know, they're obviously haven't launched yet. They're just trying, looks like they're trying to build up their directory before they do. And we will have some stuff coming into the dashboard in due time. But if you want to submit your show to Amazon now, go ahead. If you want to wait and submit through Blueberry, that's fine as well. Because I think what you're going to find here is that either way, you're going to get exposure on their platform. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking for an email here because I want to be careful that we are referencing it correctly. There's a specific set of words we have to say when it comes to, and I can't find the
Well, just to put it, you know, put it in a nutshell, Amazon is going to be adding some sort of podcast directory /app/ support to, you know, add your podcast to their platform at some point. And that's not live yet, but they do have a submission form. And more than likely, you've already gotten an email if you're a podcaster from them telling you where you can submit that.
Yeah. But of course, I couldn't find the email in my stack of stuff amongst the 5,000 other things that's going on here. So what's next on your list, Mike?
Okay, well, over on Insider Radio or Inside Radio, they have a article here that says radio has aired $61 million in podcast promos so far in 2020. So if you listen to any of the, it's mainly iHeart stations, but they've been promoting the heck out of podcasts on the radio here over the last, 4, 5, 6 months. And, they estimate, the ad spend would be, if they were paying for all of that, would have been around $61 million. And I wonder how effective that is.
I don't know, but they did a lot of work there. I did find the term. So it's Amazon Music / Audible. That's how we have to officially reference the Amazon offering is Amazon Music / Audible for their podcast initiative.
Right. Their podcast offering. It's going to be similar to, like Spotify and Pandora and whatnot. They added it to their other service.
We don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah. We don't know what it looks like, but guess. This is a guess. Speculation.
But if you do get one of those emails, again, go ahead, feel free to submit. And there's a Blueberry checkbox. You can check Blueberry as your host. So Edison Research shows Joe Rogan had the top reach in quarter two and other interesting data. Any takeaways from there, Mike?
It's their top 10 podcasts, like everybody seems to be doing it lately. But Joe Rogan's still number one and pretty much the usual suspects there. And Edison does it differently than, say, some of the others. They're not doing it by actual metrics data. They're going by how they do it with surveys and stuff. And Joe Rogan's still on top there. And I just wonder if he's going to completely disappear from most of the charts when he goes Spotify exclusive or what. But anyway, they do have a thing now called the Podcast Consumer Tracking Report that comes out every quarter over at Edison Research. And there's some demographic data in there. And it's an interesting report. We'll have a link to it.
All right. Awesome. Also, Podcast Movement virtual call for proposals. So that's quickly coming to an end.
Yeah, ends on the, was it 19th?
Yeah, it's about a week out. So if you want to speak at Amazon, Podcast Movement's virtual conference, then we need to make sure that.
Get your proposals in by August 19th, and then they'll contact you by the end of the month. So they're going to have a pretty quick turnaround, and they do have some technical requirements. So when you're in there, make sure you look at the technical requirements for speaking virtually at that. And if you already submitted to the in-person conference that got canceled, none of those submissions are going to be looked at. You need to resubmit for the virtual.
Yep. All right. So the next discussion, and I am totally like, Mike, you might have to carry the show today.
Like I said, we're a little scrambled today, so just bear with us.
Too many things going on and not enough of me and everybody else.
Yeah.
So this best practice is something that's a little bit different. And I'm going to put it underneath the category of building authority. And Mike, I've said for years, is if you're a brand new podcaster, you need to, if you don't have a base and you're new, you've got to build authority in your content. And as people do that now, and as we're in a world of virtual conferences and so forth, let's say you're going to go speak at an event someplace. Let's say it's for your specific topic. It's not podcast related. It's some industry thing. And you're going to do a virtual presentation. So you've been up in your game to, you're getting ready to move into your own little studio. Obviously I've got a good background here, but if you're going to be speaking now and want to look professional, you ought to consider your background, especially if you're working from home. And if you're going to be speaking to 100, 250, whatever the number is, then even though we're working from home and people are more open to it, it's really, really important, though, to have good aesthetics in your presentation area. And you can do that through green screen and, you know, buying a little green screen to put behind your chair and some basic lights and making sure that you've got a good camera, you've got good audio, all this stuff that you're going to need to have a good, because if you come and speak in an event and you're using your computer speaker and you're doing a presentation, it's just not going to rise to the level that we need to be at today. So if, you know, if you're going to be speaking virtually, you really need to focus on upping your game. And I, you know, I saw somebody speak at a virtual event and the person hadn't shaved. They were looking scruffy, wearing a t-shirt. It really didn't match the level of need or level of, you know, that person really didn't make themselves look good. And appearances are important, even virtually, when we're doing virtual events and we're speaking in front of a lot of people. So, you know, you and I kind of do this live for fun. We don't have to get dressed up per se.
Right.
But if you're going to be speaking and doing something for your show, then you have to appear well. And it's about building that authority. And what you also should be able to start doing now is, if you're going to ask, let's say you're going to go and submit to Podcast Movement Virtual, you're going to ask to speak, you know, I would say also include a clip of what your area looks like, that you're going to be presenting from, to give them an idea of virtually what your set is going to be look like. And recently I had someone come in here and do a green screen and they did a keynote and it looked awesome. It really, really did. He brought a background that was really appropriate and he was able to move around, stand up, and I had him mic'd up with a lav and it really looked professional. It really did. And the people were blown away. And that's what really kind of, I guess for a better word, made me start thinking about this a little bit. It wasn't even originally coming from me. It was from someone that used the green screen studio here, you know, this where I have my office. And I think that's something we're going to have to, for at least the near future, until we get back into going into other areas, I think we have to think about that.
Right. Yeah. Cause I've seen, you know, even on television, you know, some of these reporters and whatnot that are working from home unexpectedly. And, you know, over the whole period of this COVID thing, I've noticed they've been upping their game. You know, when it first started out, it was, you know, guys sitting around in their shorts and whatnot. And now, you know, they're really upping their game that way. I've seen, you know, people with green screens and good lights and, you know, good audio equipment and all that. And we got to do the same thing. You know, that's part of why I'm, you know, getting out of this swampy basement and into a standalone area so that, you know, A, I don't have the background noise, and I will have a lot nicer background and, you know, really good lighting, hopefully.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything should look great. It's not going to look great right away when I first move, but, you know, I'm going to up my game because I, you know, I do want to do some speaking, you know, at some of these conferences as well.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that's kind of my idea on a best practice. Let's talk about Blueberry News. You're doing a webinar, right?
Yeah, I'm doing a webinar on August 25th, 4 to 5 Eastern. So there's a sign up there. That's our more or less monthly how to get started with PowerPress and Blueberry and all that webinar. And I open it up to questions and stuff from the attendees. So go check that out. We do that via GoToWebinar instead of Zoom. So a little bit different technology, but it works well.
And it does. It gives you a great opportunity for audience participation and everything else that goes on. So get signed up for that PowerPress webinar. Again, August 25th, 4 to 5 Eastern. You do record that too, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I record that and send out a video afterwards, like the next day. I'll shoot a video out to everybody that signed up, even if you couldn't attend. So
the Blueberry team has been making, for years, we worked under the development style called Waterfall. And since for about the last 3 months, we've been making the plan to switch to Scrum Agile. And this is kind of the week we're making the switch. I think today was kind of a technically our officially first day making the switch for one team, and then we'll have another team making the switch next week. So we're all kind of getting trained up and seeing how this all works. It's a whole different mindset, isn't it, Mike?
Oh yeah, it's definitely been quite a little process here, and I think we're finally getting all the pieces in place, and I'm sure we'll have a little bit of an adjustment period, but in theory, it's going to make things go a little bit quicker or at least more organized as we go along, and you guys won't see that directly, no. You know, but you'll see the product of it. So
that's right, and there's this good, there's this term used in that development style called done. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to having some projects done. Of course, some stuff is never done.
Yeah, this is true.
But at least phases of it will be done.
Right, right. And, you know, like I said, I look forward to it because it's going to be, you know, like when I have something, you know, like a suggestion, that actually goes into a queue and then we talk about it and then eventually it gets, you know, bubbles up. It doesn't right. just stay there as something we want to do someday.
Yeah. You know? But everything gets prioritized and it's kind of a fun thing. It allows you to really, really focus. But those of you that know what the heck we're just talking about, you're going to say, oh, good for you guys and happy journey. So Mike, you've got an interview.
Yeah. I talked with Mike Emke. He does a thing called the Weeby Geeks Podcast Collective. His main show called Weeby Geeks. And it's not a tech show, kind of like your Geek News Central. This is a more of a, what do you call it? You know, like comic books and Star Trek and Star Wars and, you know, all that kind of, you know, pretty much anything in that genre. Is, you know, anything you can be a geek about, they have, you know, shows about it. He has several shows on there and it was a good, conversation. He, works for Disney as an audio engineer down in Orlando there. So, we did geek out a little bit on the audio stuff, but, anyway, it was a cool interview.
Mike, Lake Michigan still continues to, try to fill your basement, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, hey, this may be the last live from this basement studio, so we'll see.
So your new one is almost ready. We'll see. Well, don't rush it, but
I'm taking tomorrow off to paint, and I may be able to move in over the weekend. So
okay, all right, awesome. Hey, so let's talk again. So anyway, we'll get this interview going, and here's the interview with Mike and the We Be Geeks Podcast Collective.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Two mics, no waiting, right? No, that's a different mic joke.
Mic check. One, yeah. Two. Yeah, we're here.
All right. Well, how you doing?
Doing good.
Okay. Doing good. We were talking a little bit pre-show. You're down in the Orlando-ish area in Kissimmee. Yeah. So, yeah.
Kissimmee, Florida.
Very been familiar here. With that area.
been down in this area about 24 years.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
So you do a show called Weeby Geeks and others.
Yep. Weeby Geeks is my primary show. It's my oldest show. First episode of Weeby Geeks will have dropped 8 years ago in November.
Oh, wow. So you've been at this a while.
Been at it for a while, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing how little, you know, how few years that podcasting's been around, and you know, you get eight years in, and you're one of the old timers.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the original, might be one of the original people in that second wave of the podcast climax.
Right, that would have been what, about 2012-ish?
Yep, 2012.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Todd and I both started, and well, he started in late 04, and I started in 05. So we're on the first wave.
I consider you guys the OG OG.
Yeah, most people don't even remember us anymore. No, I'm kidding. So what is your show about?
Weebie Geeks, we cover general pop culture. So we cover everything. Tagline had been in the past, we talk about everything but chick flicks and Twilight. But then we've kind of changed it to where the official voice of the geek revolution, because if you look at TV, film, what you see out in the stores or just anywhere, pop culture is taking over a lot and becoming, instead of a hush hush thing to talk about, it is almost a mainstay. Main topic that's brought up everywhere, because everyone wants to talk about the latest Marvel film, the latest Star Wars film, the latest Star Trek project. Umbrella Academy has become popular. I mean, shows on Netflix and Hulu.
Right. So it's not just sci-fi and that, but
exactly. we cover a little bit of everything. And we also do a lot of interviews ourselves. In which we've had quite a few independent filmmakers. We've had voiceover actors. Lately, we've been getting a lot of people who are essentially retired from the industry still on. Like with Weebie Geeks, our latest episode that just dropped, we had Kevin Pike, who built the time machine on the DeLorean for Back to the Future.
Well, that's an obscure thing there. That's great.
It is. But he was also involved in, he's a special effects guy as well. But I've also had Scott Schwartz from The Toy and A Christmas Story. He was on recently, Jack O'Halloran, who was one of the Kryptonians in the original Superman series. With Christopher Reeve have been on. I've had Joe Alves, who was the art director and main designer of Bruce the Shark in Jaws.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know the shark in Jaws had a name. That's great.
Name is Bruce. Hence why in Finding Nemo, the animated shark's name was Bruce. It was in honor of Bruce the Shark from Jaws.
Right. See, I learned something already.
So this is the type of stuff we do. So regular news, we talk about toys, collectibles as well, comics, TV, film, whatever, on days that we don't have interviews.
Okay. And you were telling me offline there, you have a network of sorts and you have a unique way of identifying it as a network.
Yeah. I have a network. It's a bunch of different pop culture shows. I just started adding a sports show because, hey, I mean, there's sports geeks as well. It's sports has become pop culture, especially a lot recently. I mean, I remember, yeah, sports was a big thing when I was a kid. I turned 50 later this month. Sports
Happy
was
birthday.
A big thing as. Well, thank you. I mean, sports was a big deal when I was a kid, but God, nothing like it is now where, you know, you look everywhere and you see people who aren't necessarily sports fans wearing something sports related. To me, that's sports pop is pop culture because it's infusing itself into, you know, everyday conversation, everyday wear, whatever. So we just added a sports show. So it's a pop culture based network. That's kind of the requirement that I have is, you know, does your show fit pop culture in my eyes? Originally it was called the Weebie Geeks Network, but I changed the name over to the Weebie Geeks Podcast Collective. Just to kind of set myself apart and be different and unique. Because I try and pride myself on being different and unique, because I am different and unique. and using the phrase podcast collective has been great. I've gotten great response from it. And that's what it, I mean, network works too, but we're a collective of podcasts.
Yeah. So. There's a subtle difference there too. You know, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network, and that's a tech related little network that we have. And, there's about 100 loosely affiliated shows over there, but it's not, it's not a total network, say as like ABC or NBC or whatever. Right. It's, it's just a bunch of people that have a similar genre that want to kind of cross promote one another.
And that's what we're doing, with the collective.
Yeah. And what are some of the other shows on your collective?
Couple of the other big shows are shows within the family. They're run by co-hosts of mine, Keepers of the Fringe, Geek Watch One, and then some close friends of mine, DW60, which is a Disney news podcast, news, current events type podcast. Jock and Nerd podcast is also on there. They do pop culture related stuff as well, with the twist that one guy is uber nerd and the other guy is uber jock. So putting the two together, and one teaches one about sports, the other teaches the other about geek. And it's a great show. I'm glad to have them on board. I've got like 20 or about 20, 25 shows on the collective. I'm trying to remember them all.
Well, we don't need the whole list. We'll send people over there.
Yeah. Keeping Up with the Geek Bros is another group. They're out of Miami area, and we met them at a Star Wars convention, and it was because of them coming to see us on the podcast stage at that convention that really caused them to up their game, and they've been around great, and they're really good friends of ours as well. So
now when you do interviews, you were saying for your main show there, you're in the Orlando area, so I imagine people show up there a lot, but are you doing them in person? Are you doing them over the interwebs, or
we're doing it over Skype?
Oh, that works. We happen to be using Zoom right now, but Todd and I generally use Skype when we're, just doing our normal part of the show. So it's worked for years.
Yeah, we've been using Skype ever since my original co-host on We Be Geeks and I started almost 8 years ago.
Okay, well, very good. And speaking of starting, we always like to get kind of the origin story. So what made you get into podcasting?
For me, the shows that really got me hooked into listening to podcasts originally was the stuff by Kevin Smith. So I'm one of those people.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Kevin Smith was what got me interested in listening. And I've always been a Kevin Smith fan ever since I saw Clerks for the very first time, which was his first project. And one of my coworkers and I went to the first Star Wars convention the first time it was held here in Orlando. And I was pitching to him then. This was 2010. So we were almost in that first wave.
Yeah.
Or at the tail end of that first wave.
Sure.
I'm like, we need to do a podcast. I mean, we love this. We talk about this all the time. We should do a podcast. Oh, yeah, whatever. 2 years later, he ends up going out to San Diego for San Diego Comic-Con, which we always joke is the start of the geek new year, because that's the big convention for pop culture, or the biggest of them all, I guess. And he comes back from that and goes, you know how we always talk about in the office, talk about this movie, that movie, this show, this show. Yeah. We should do a podcast about it. finally, you come around to my train of thought. I told you this 2 years ago. We started up the website, which the website turned 8 years today as we're recording. I just got a notification today that it started 8 years ago.
Well, happy anniversary on that too. For sure.
So that would be the collective's the site, the domain that's now the collective, is 8 years old as of today. But so we started that and went to Celebration, started lining up guests or ideas on what to do with the show. And then, you know, we kept telling people, hey, we're a new show that's coming out. We're going to launch in November. And it got to October. It's like, what are we going to do? How are we going to put this together? I mean, I'm an audio engineer by trade. He was an audio engineer as well at where I work at Walt Disney World. And for us, podcasting was kind of this new thing. We knew software, we knew interfaces, like, but how do we actually put this together? How are we going to actually line up and do the mix minus with Skype and everything? Once we got that figured out, about 2 weeks later, November 17th, we ended up launching our first show. And for me, it hasn't stopped since.
Nice, nice. And you said you worked at Walt Disney. I guess that makes sense, being that you're in that area. So, down in Florida. And so speaking of all the technical geekery, I always like to talk about that. Oh. You being an audio engineer, you probably have a pretty decent setup.
Yeah, I did. Well, it's a basic setup. When I originally started, I started with the Audio Technica 2100, which is a good beginner's mic.
Oh yeah.
For me, big complaints I have with it is it's very noisy. The chassis, you get a lot of chassis noise if you touch the mic.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely want to mount it good and all that. But they're not a bad mic for sure. No. A lot of podcasters start on that one versus the Blue Snowball or something like that.
Yeah, I then upgraded from that to the 2005.
Yeah, I think it's 2005 maybe.
The 2005, which is a little better. A little quieter chassis noise, but still has quite a bit. And then from there, ended up getting all three of the shows that I run ended up getting endorsed by CAD Audio. And we initially started off on the CAD U37, which is a wonderful mic. I really liked it. And anyone looking at a USB mic, without breaking the budget, I would recommend the U37 in a heartbeat.
Is that a condenser or a dynamic?
It is a condenser, but it has a shelving capability. It's got a high pass filter on it.
Oh, okay.
It also has a pad on it, like a 10 dB pad as well. And you could, I haven't used it in so long. I don't remember. So it's got those. Yeah. It's got the pad and it's got the high pass.
I always like to warn new podcasters with a condenser type mic is you really got to pay attention to your environment and know how to use it, because a lot of people will set it in the middle of the table and it sounds like you're in an echo chamber, but if you do it right, they sound awesome.
Yep. I'll even go as far as recommending people be cautious in general with any USB microphone if you're using it with the USB port or the USB cable, because even like the Audio Technica 2100 or the 2005, it almost becomes the USB dynamics tend to carry a properties of a condenser because it's drawing power from the USB port to power the ADD converter that's in it. And because of that, it makes it more sensitive like a condenser than if you're going with a straight XLR setup.
Right. You know, so if you're using like a separate interface or a mixer or whatever.
Correct. Because when I use the same Audio Technica 2100 to do on the floor interviews, it was a lot quieter because I was using an XLR into my iPhone at the time. I had the iRig. No, it was the Tascam IZX interface. That's what I was using to go into my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot quieter because of the XLR connection. And it was acting like a normal microphone and not having to utilize that A to D converter.
Right. Yeah. For a while, I was using an ATR with a Zoom recorder. And yeah, it's much nicer XLR than it is USB, but very much so. But they're decent microphones all around. But
so I'll put that warning out there because a lot of people don't, you know, when they give that recommendation, they don't put the warning on there. The warning using the USB cable on any USB dynamic mic. You're going to get a higher sensitivity because of the electric power going into the microphone to power that A to D converter.
Right. Yeah, for sure. You know, like I said, I've used, you know, dynamics for pretty much everything, but I've always also used a mixer, you know, one form or another.
We are now currently upgraded to all my co-hosts and I are the same way. We are now all upgraded to, we're using the Tascam Mini Studio US-42. And we're all on CAD Audio D90 microphones.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with CAD Audio, so I'll have to look that up.
CAD has been around for a while, and I really like the CAD D90. It's it's from their CAD Live series, and it's a super cardioid pattern. It's almost like a mix of a SM58 meets the Beta 58 meets Beta 57 or 87 from Shure.
Okay. Well, you're definitely an audio guy. So you don't want to geek out too much on that, but
I mean, it's a nice rich sound.
I have a
little EQing on my vocal. Or on my mic now through the interface, because the US 42 Mini Studio allows you to do some cool things with it. I mean, it has like an instant replay button. It's got three of those. It has an effects button where, you know, if I want to change my voice, I can hit the effect button.
Yeah, I do notice that.
My voice has changed.
There you go. Yeah, I do notice it has a little bit of a proximity effect. If you get off mic a bit.
I like to get close to the mic because I feel I have a richer tone to my voice with the proximity. And even though I do have that rolled off on a high pass filter on my EQ, I think I'm rolled off around 90. 90 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it sounds decent for sure. Going through Zoom here, it's doing all right.
Yeah. I'm actually rolled off at 125 hertz, which is a little high. Normally, I wouldn't go that high on a vocal when I'm mixing someone in a band. Usually, I leave it around 90, 95. But I know for me, and the fact that I do get a little closer, I take it up to the 125 to compensate.
Well, it seems to be working for sure.
Thanks.
Have to take a listen to your show. I don't listen to a lot of pop culture-y things, but I think maybe I'll check it out. I always check out who we interview here at Podcast Insider. Cool. So we encourage you guys to do it too. You might find something you'll really like. And So podcasting in general, how has everything been going as far as, you know, audience feedback? You having good luck with that?
That's where I call myself a social media idiot. Wookiee Radio, my Star Wars show, I get a pretty good response and pretty good conversations on Twitter, but a lot of it's with other Star Wars podcasters, and which is a good thing. Because it seems like the Star Wars podcast community seems to be very active, and there is, for the most part, a lot of support for each other, especially when you get, I hate to use the word click, but when you get into a group of other shows that have similar thought as you, definitely you get a lot more response. Weeby Geeks and Mighty Marvel Geeks, Mighty Marvel Geeks being my Marvel show. It's been rough getting listener response. I mean, I get emails every now and then. I may get a Twitter every now and then, but the listener feedback, I don't get it as much. And in the beginning, I was like, oh, why am I not getting this? Now it's like, okay, it's just life. People are listening. I know they're listening because I see the numbers, but I'm not getting response. So I'll take it as no news is good news.
Yeah, that happens sometimes with podcasts. You're not being controversial in most cases. So, usually if you really tick somebody off, you'll hear from them or something like that. And as long as you're not ticking people off, they tend to stay pretty quiet about things.
And see, we try and stay family friendly. So I try not to tick people off.
Right. That's always good.
I just don't want to be that guy. And I don't want us to be, I don't want those shows to be that type of show.
Right. Yeah. Back when, podcasting first started, there was a couple hundred shows and that was it. And we went to a conference and, pretty much everybody listened to everybody in the podcasting space, at least or knew of each other. And it was really great. There was no real competition, some of these shows now, they sort of compete with each other, but podcasting's a little different because, you can have 10 shows about the same subject and, some people are going to like this show and that show and the other one, but then other people will like, a different mix of them, or they might like them all, and cross promoting one another is a great way to do it, especially within a community. I remember when, we had started Tech Podcast Network, all that cross promotion, there was like a family, all the different tech podcasters would know each other and they would respond to each other in their shows. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so said about this computer or whatever? And then, they would start conversations on the other shows. So if you followed more than one of them, a lot of times you would know what they're talking about.
Right. And I get a little competitive. I mean, it's human nature.
Of course.
If I see, that person got, or that show got that person on the show. Oh, I got to get them too. How do I do that? I may do that, or I got this person before you guys did. And
right. But it's friendly competition more than cutthroat,
Yeah. I hate the cutthroat. I've had a couple shows, if I say I don't recommend them, I try not to discuss them. I try not to think about them, because they just irritate me big time, and they have stolen material from me. I mean, it's one thing to say, I like this bit you're doing, I want to do it, just put our own twist on it, make it our own, cool. But when you're stealing catchphrases and stealing and its exact phrasing, that bothered me. And then they were coming in and trying to steal my co-hosts. I'm like, okay, we got a problem.
Yeah, I know how that could go too. So yeah, hey,
but,
you know.
But thankfully, I mean, I can mention there's one show that does that, and or one host. He runs a couple different shows that has done that. So I just completely ignore him and his stuff altogether. And then there was another show that just kept asking, "How do you do this? How do you do this?" And then when people come out and ask for audio help, obviously being an audio engineer, you know, I'm offering up, and then I get told, "Oh, you're doing it all wrong. You don't know what you're talking about." That's I'm like, whoa.
Well, welcome to podcast tech support. So, you know, yeah. Same idea. You know, yeah. you teach somebody something and then they tell you you're wrong. And, well, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. It's not a big deal. So, we usually try to keep these things to around 30 minutes. So, we should do the shameless plug section.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. So, what would you like? Where would you like people to visit? How would they get a hold of you if they wanted to?
You can email me at mike@webegeeks, WEBEGEEKS.net. I'm always open to talking to people. You can find our websites at it's Weeby Geeks, Mighty Marvel Geeks, Wookie Radio.net on each one.
Okay, so you're all .net. That works.
.net there. If you want to check out the collective, which I highly recommend you do, because that's where you also find our shows. And that's where all my show feeds are generated, because that's where we originally started the show feeds. And then listening to Todd and you guys, you should give your shows your own identity on the internet, which I agree with. That's why I did the .nets for the other for the three shows. And I used PowerPress to take the original show feed from the collective website, which is WeebyGeeksPC.com. And I just copy my show link into the PowerPress on the three individual shows. That way I'm still getting the numbers, still getting the tracking, but each show has their own presence as well.
Right. That's a great way to do it. You know, we do it with tech podcasts. Everybody's got their own identities, and then we have that one website. So
I have always been a fan of having the identity. Originally, you know, Mighty Marvel Geeks was the second show I started. I put it on the Weeby Geeks page, and I'm like, you know, I think we need to get I want to say 4 years ago, first time I entered the podcast awards, that's when I'm like, you know, I need to create, if I'm doing this award show, I need to create my own website for it. And that's when I created the three websites, the .nets, the WeebyGeeks.net, MightyMarvelGeeks.net, WookieRadio.net. It was because of the podcast awards that gave me that little ump in the butt to say, yeah, let's get this going and make the other the network. So yeah. And then since we're doing shameless plugs, I will say I am proud to announce that for the fourth year in a row, Mighty Marvel Geeks has made the final slate on the Podcast Awards.
Yep, that's over at podcastawards.com.
yeah, third year, it's our third year in the entertainment category. First year, we made the final slate in TV and film. And then Wookie Radio is making its first appearance in the final slate in its first year on the Podcast Awards in the TV and film category. So,
congratulations on being nominated. And
thank you.
We'll hope you get there. I can't influence any of that.
Some great competition. The biggest competition I think I've got over in the entertainment category is We're Drunk and We Know Things.
I think they won last year, didn't they?
They've won the last 3 years.
Oh, well, so, hey, they can only win. Okay. I think they may be done I forget what the rule is, but
I thought it was 5 years.
Yeah, it might be 5 years. So, well, in a couple of years, say.
Yeah. But no, they're great guys. That's because I didn't listen to them the first year. We were up against them, but I started listening to them 2 years ago. And I started listening to them last year, because last year was the second time we were up against them. And like, okay, this is a fun show. And I can see where they're, good competition, but I mean, the slates themselves is great competition all around. And I'm glad to be able to throw Wookiee Radio into the mix this year, into that competition. Cause I'm proud of my guys. And the product we put out, we're very laid back. I do minimal editing, sort of like Todd does with his stuff. Cause I like that talk radio feel. And that's a pet peeve of mine, is why no one criticizes talk radio, but everyone's so, when they put it out as a podcast, but everyone's so critical about the way a podcast is done, because I guess we can over edit.
Yeah, a lot of people do. That's for sure. We have our,
when you over edit, it sounds too mechanical.
Well, we have our pro production team that takes care of the editing here, and it's pretty minimal. They just make us sound smarter. That's what I always say.
Well, I usually record everything through Studio One, and from there go into SoundForge for my mastering, because I've been an original SoundForge user ever since it was back with Sonic Foundry, if I'm really gonna age myself here. and I've loved SoundForge from the get-go, and it's a powerful program. I'm still trying to learn how to master in Studio One, but there's just a few things in SoundForge that do what I need to do. And then I just got that Isotope Ozone Elements plugin, for which has been an amazing tool. I think that's for those who are into the podcast tech of things, listen to a show of mine from, say, July of last year, and listen to a show from July of this year, and you're going to hear quite a bit of difference. And a lot of it's this plugin, Ozone Elements 9. Shameless plug for them.
Yeah, not familiar, but have to check it out.
I got it when Sweetwater Sound was offering it for free. I'm like, free? Of course I'll take it. And it's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, it's like with me with Audition. I've been using Adobe Audition since version 1 on the PC, and then when I went to Mac, I of course stuck with it, and so that's the one I've learned on. But anyway, all right. Well, we better get out of here. Thanks for being on, Mike.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Well, I thank Mike. Mike, two Mikes here. Mike, thanks for doing the interview. And Mike, thanks for being on Podcast Insider.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it was, like I said, it was a great conversation. And like I said, we kind of strayed off a little bit on some geekery, but it was cool.
All right. Awesome. So, hey, just remember, let's interview for the show. Tell us your story. And you can email Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com, and we'll get you scheduled in to do it. And I'm going to have to do a re-interview, because that interview that was on that SD card is gone into the ether. So it really, really sucks. But let's go ahead and talk about support. What's going on in support?
Well, I actually had Dave do a little show prep for me today. So, but some of the things that he's seen and I've seen over the last bit is we've had several users submit tickets that their Blueberry directory listing is showing no episodes. And, even though they've published them, if you're using PowerPress and, on a site, even a WordPress site that we give you, you do need to give us your RSS feed back into the listing settings, because our directory listings, just like Apple, just like all the rest of them, if we don't know what the address to it is, we can't update it. So it's pretty simple. Go into the dashboard, go to the listing settings. You know, put your RSS feed in there, hit update, and that will pull all your episodes in. And then after that, it pulls them in fairly quickly. After you publish on your WordPress site, it'll pull it into the directory at Blueberry.
At some point, that's going to become automated. When you sync your account with PowerPress, we're going to detect that and pull that in.
Right.
So some of that is coming. That's all on our developmental roadmap or backlog, as they would say now.
Yep, it's in our Scrum stuff.
Yeah. So also, you're going to talk about where can you see your monthly quota balance?
Yeah, a lot of people towards the end of the month run close to their quota. So to check your quota, there's a couple of places you can do it. If you upload at Blueberry itself, you can go to the upload media files or manage publish files. And down at the bottom, you'll see how much space you have left for the remaining month or for the, you know, what's remaining in this month. And if you're doing it from PowerPress, when you hit the button to bring up the list of episodes that you've published, at the bottom of that will be, you know, how much space do you have left? So then look at the media file you have, and if it's bigger than what it says you can upload for this month, then you know you're going to run over and you should probably upgrade.
One thing that's going to be cool is when we get the new UI UX dashboard built, all that's going to be right there in front of them. They're going to see that right as it'll be in their active dashboard. It's going to be fantastic.
Nice. Yes. But for right now, it's not super hard. It's just, it's always going to be at the bottom of the list of files, regardless of where you're looking. Yeah. And it'll tell you. And just keep in mind, the quota resets on the first of every month, and it's not tied to your billing cycle at all. So depending on when you signed up, that's where your billing comes, but the quotas reset on the first of every month.
WordPress 5.5 just updated yesterday. We're waiting a few days. I updated my site and actually ran into some issues because it's a pretty big update. And I know you updated, didn't have any problems, but I think it's always good to wait a few days. You and I are kind of, we rush. But one thing that we need to remind everyone is WordPress can cause podcast feed issues, and this is sometimes really dependent upon a plugin you may add. So when you add a plugin, you know, just out of pure safety, you know, check your RSS feed. You know, go ahead and install, activate the plugin. You can, you know, use your site as you normally would, but then just take your RSS feed and run it through Cast Feed Validator and make sure everything is working the way it should. And these are oftentimes what you'll see is some plugins love to kind of take control of the RSS feed, and it has an overriding effect and can be an issue. And that's often with SEO plugins, caching plugins, that kind of stuff we have to keep an eye on. There's not too many out there that causes issues, and some that we've worked around with. But just be aware, you know, there's lots of new plugins coming in and everyone's finding stuff all the time. So just be careful when you add a plugin to check your feed.
Yeah, we had a fairly strange one the other day. That's what kind of made me want to put this on the list. But Apple Podcasts was saying that, your feed is not in XML. It's in some other format. But when we checked it everywhere else we could look at it, it was in XML. And come to find out, it was a security plugin called Securi. And it's not a plugin per se, it's a service that the web host does. So just be careful with that kind of thing as well. You know, anytime you make any major changes to your website, just run that feed through Cast Feed Validator, and usually we'll pick up pretty much everything.
Yep. All right. Well, we're here at the end, and at the end of the show. So if you have any questions or comments about the podcast, or have a topic you'd like us to cover, it's Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. And Mike, any closing thoughts as we get through kind of this crazy show we've had today?
No, just like I said, bear with us. And Blueberry Pro took a vacation, so I'm going to be editing today too. So if we don't sound as smart today, that's why.
So two shows in a row you've edited, huh?
Yeah, but I think they're going to be back for next week, so that'll be good.
All right. Hey, everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for watching the show. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week on the Podcast Insider. We'll be with you. Make sure you subscribe here. We'll take care. Bye-bye.
See you.